Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
I think this is such a special thing that we get to share Anzac Day on a Sunday. And the last time that we had that was in 2010, and it's been a little while. And as I was considering that this week and just thinking about what it means and who we remember on Anzac Day, what a wonderful thing it is, and I hope that it frames Anzac Day for me for the future now, with it being so direct on a Sunday, that as I remember and as we come around this date, that it leads me to the cross. That as I remember over here, that I continually remember over here. Because what freedom we gained in the physical, we honor those who went before us. What happened over here on the cross, the power of sin and death, is incredible, right? Is incredible. And we praise Jesus every single week as we take communion for what he has done on that cross. And I pray that as we come around Anzac Day in the future, it leads us to that cross. John 10:10. If you know it, can you say it with me this morning? The thief comes not except... if you know it, I'm going to start again. Thanks, Veronica. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that they may have life and that they may have it to the full or abundantly, whichever way you want to say it. John 10:10 in its various translations and the way it's been said has been said from this platform many times over the years. And if there was a list of things, if you could chronicle that of what was said the most times, that would be right up there. And another thing that would be right up there that we have heard our leaders say in the past, both Pastor Hal and Pastor Graham, consistently, is a question that we want to continue to ask. What does the Bible say? What does the Word say? And it's a question that is as important as ever that we continue to ask that question. As believers, as Christians, what does the Bible say? And church, this is the foundation that our church is built upon. What does the Bible say? What does the Word say? And we're going to continue to say it from this platform because we want you to continue to ask that question around your own lives and your own circumstances as well. Unfortunately, what the internet has done to us has given us great tools, but it's also given everyone a platform, right? No matter what your background is, no matter what you have to say, you have a platform that can be broadcast. And that is a great thing when used well, but it also allows people to listen and hear things. And so we need to continue to ask that question, not what does somebody else say, what does the Word of God say? And not only does it provide a guide for us as we live our lives, but it reveals the truth about our theme for this year. It reveals the truth about the heart of God. And this is the reason, and the reason this needs to be a pillar is that we maintain, is because sometimes our experience leads to a misunderstanding of what God's heart is for us in different environments. His design for us, his love for us, his faithfulness. Sometimes I'm thinking you'd know that sometimes what we see with our eyes or what we experience can seemingly be contradictory to what we hear. But the Word of God is truth. And we need to, can I encourage you today, we need to make sure that our feelings and our thoughts submit to the Word of God, which sits above. And that is something that's so important, especially when emotion drives us and other things people have a really good argument that we submit our thoughts, we submit our feelings, we submit our emotions to the Word of God as our authority. Jesus Christ, the Word, the name above all names. At the beginning today, if you want to write something down at your topic pages, I hope you're writing notes. Any note takers in church today? I see, yes, Pat, yes, 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 yes. Thank you to those four people. It is great. Everyone else, I'll test you afterwards. Make sure you remember it. At the beginning, if you want to write down one sentence, this is my message in a sentence today. Jesus Christ is the only one that you can hang your life on. Jesus Christ is the only one that you can hang your life on. He is our hope. He is the hope for humanity. Can we pray? Father God, we thank you for your Word. We thank you that you are alive, Lord God. We serve you this day. Father, I pray that as we dive in, that it would not just be words on a page. It would not just be things that we remember or thoughts that we think, Lord God, but your Word would be truth and it would come alive to us today. That Father, as we leave this place, we would not leave the same. Father, we want to never enter into your presence and leave the same, Lord God. We want you to continue to change us, mold us into the people that you are calling us to be. Have your way this day in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. It's been a while since I've been out of school, but I was one of the young people in year 12. Are there any youngies? We're the people that got our licenses after year 12 finished. Anyone? Anyone the same? You were a young year 12 student? There's a few. Yeah, we're a minority, but hey, that's all right. We made it, right? And so I was a March baby. And so all my friends got their license, and that was great. And I just hitched a ride with them, which saves you money, which is a great thing. But I got my license and I got my car when I was 18, and March was that time for that. And it's such a significant moment. And I started working straight out of high school. And so I was earning a little bit of money. And you marry up an 18-year-old with a little bit of disposable income and a license, and you know that you're in for a little bit of trouble. And fortunately, I didn't get into too much trouble. But there was a lot of learning that happened, steep learning curve at that time for me. And I remember driving to work. I used to work just down here at Woolworths. I've shared that many times. And I drove, we live 5 minutes away. And I think I was 5 minutes late to work that day when I first started driving. Because I didn't realize that when you drive somewhere that you actually need to take time to park your car and walk in. I was so used to the parent drop-off at the door that you just, it was just what you got used to. Man, this is why, when a 17 or 18-year-old complains, I'm like, come on, bro. Come on, There's more coming for you. So I was able to make my own decisions, and you become a little bit independent when you get your license, and I did that. And one of the things that I decided to do was join the gym. It seemed the cool thing to do. And so I joined the gym. I'm like, yes, I'm going to pump some iron, and that's going to be great. And working out was fun for a little while. It was fun when I was that age, but I was going to ask if anyone likes working out, but I'm not going to ask that. I'm going to say, does anyone think working out sucks? Does anyone think that? Yeah, come on. Yeah, there's a few people, and I know there's a few people who are like, it's a workout to put my hand up. I'm not going to do that, so I'll just leave it down. But it is. It's a tough thing, but I enjoyed it back then. But there was one time when I went to the gym, and it was my second or my third time, and this 10-kilo weight, and I don't know what I had it on, because I don't know why I was lifting this heavy back when I was that age, but I went to put it on where the weight rack goes. You're supposed to put your weights back after you've done a workout, and I put it back on the weight rack, and it just missed a little bit, and so it dropped. And that was all fine, because when you're at the gym, there's padding underneath, and that's all good. But the weight dropped, and I did that automatic thing whenever you drop your keys or your phone, and you just slide your foot out and stick it underneath. I know, right? Silly. 18. I was silly. And so I do this automatic, it's all right. Don't worry about it. Stick your foot out. And it landed squarely on my big toe. I reckon it almost broke my toe, but I was still hobbling around. And it went all kinds of black and blue and was unfortunate. And when you're in that moment where that pain goes on, when I read through this, what I did? I shouldn't tell you this because it went through my head. I'm going to tell you anyway. Is that right? I was like, when you have that pain that's so extreme, then you internalize that pain and you're like, and you know. And I was like, ladies, it's like when you're giving childbirth. And I was like, Andrew, you cannot say that. It's not true. My wife is unfortunately at home cook. I'm sorry. I don't compare it. It's not. It wasn't the same. I know. It wasn't the same. I know it wasn't the same. I know. Thank you for what you've done for our children. Thank you. Thank you, Cass. And ladies, we honor you. Dropping a weight on your toe is not the same, okay? Don't send me an email. Don't. I know. But I was just thinking about that. Life can be like that sometimes where we end up feeling really heavy and our lives are heavy. We've put on a lot of weight, not like that, but life has become heavy and it drops and it can really hurt. And we spoke about that a little bit in our Broken Not Forgotten series, where we find ourselves at the bottom and we've been carrying a lot of things, and it's at that moment we are proven to who we are actually trusting in. Where is our faith at that moment? Weight itself is not necessarily bad. But it's when it's not secured properly. If I had to put it on, it would have been fine. It's when it's not secured properly, it can become a problem. When we're feeling overwhelmed. And I even use the word crushed. Sometimes we can feel crushed under the weight of the world, under the weight of our lives and what we have been carrying. So my title for my message today, and I'm borrowing a line from the great physicist and first person that I ever saw travel through time, Marty McFly, when he spoke to Doc Brown and something was going on, and he said, "Doc, this is heavy. This is heavy." That's my title. If you don't want to use a Back to the Future reference, you can use this as your title, called Soul Burdens. Soul Burdens. If you got your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to the book of Matthew. We're going to go to chapter 10 today. And grab it out. If you got your phone, use that as well. Or whatever you got your Bible on, I encourage you to get out. It is great to read it in front of you. If you don't, I've got it on the screen as well anyway, so we can read it there. But take it out, because you can always highlight what's in you. You can't highlight my screen, but you can highlight what's in your Bible. This is a well-known scripture we're going to read in a minute, but we want to start with Matthew 10. And when we read these passages, and sometimes you'll hear a message in church, and it'll be a passage that you've heard many times before. Church, it's not just about knowing our Bibles. It's not just about knowing what the Bible is actually saying, but it's about being able to appropriate that. It's about applying that to our lives and understanding the truth of these words to be able to set us free, just like we've spoken about already this morning. Let it be outworked. And so in Matthew 10, Jesus is here and he is sending out his disciples into the world. And it's the same message for them as it is for us, that Jesus is sending us out. We don't just come to church to enjoy our time in church, right? Like, I love it, and keep coming. And this hour and a bit that we get in church is a wonderful time to spend together, to build each other up, to worship together corporately is so important. But church, we are the light of the world, in the world. We are to be in the world, shining Jesus Christ into the world. So let's go out and make a difference once we finish here today. And Jesus gives them this instruction. Amongst all of these things, he says that you're going to face persecution. And he ends up actually painting a pretty dark picture of what it's going to look like for them. But like everything, and in verse 28, we're going to read 10:28, Jesus gives us this amazing hope and then a promise. So he set up and he said, this is the truth, this is what it's going to look like. But hold on, because there is hope and there is a promise. And we're going to read in 28, it says this: "And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul." There's the hope. Do not fear those who can just kill the body, but they cannot kill the soul. There is hope. And notice the separation right here between body and soul. I want us to see that today. So often we're fearful of what can happen in the natural, but here he's saying you don't actually need to be. He wants to give us some perspective. Jesus continues to want to give us perspective as we walk through life. Let's move on. It says, "Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny?" I love this. "And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father." God sees it. He knows it. "But even the hairs of your head are numbered. Fear not, therefore, the promise, for you are of more value than many sparrows." You could take that right there. Fear not, therefore, for you are of more value than many sparrows. And what is Jesus saying to each one of us today? That he sees you, that he knows you, and that you are so valuable for him, every single one of us. It is so easy, and the enemy will try and lie and try and take that away from us. He is here to steal, to kill, and destroy, and he will try and remove that from you, but you are so valuable to God. You don't need to fear, because God's got you. And not only in the physical does God have us, but at a much deeper level where we actually need saving, and we're going to get to that in a minute. Jesus goes on to warn the cities where he has been speaking about himself, or he's been preaching the word, and he warns them about the consequences of not hearing the word, about the pending judgment that is coming for unbelievers. And there's no mincing of his words here. And just on that point, we are all accountable, each one of us, for what we hear. We are accountable for the words that we hear and putting that into action in our lives. And it's like as if Jesus knew what they were thinking at this moment, because he did. And before he drops this absolutely amazing gem, this revelatory gem in this well-known passage, and this is going to be our focus for the rest of the message today. Matthew 11, flick forward one chapter. We're going from Matthew 10:28 to Matthew 11:28, and we're going to read 28 to 30. This is the one. You may have heard this before. It says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly," meaning humble, "in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This scripture is often quoted, and we think about it when we're feeling the weight, when we're feeling heavy, or we're feeling tired, worn out, or run down, or overwhelmed. And rightly so, because Jesus is the place we need to run when we feel like that, even in our body as well. But I wanted to ask the question today, and it says it right there. What does it mean when Jesus refers to that rest for your soul? Rest for the body, all right, we understand. But what is it to have rest for your soul? And just a bit of theology, make sure we're on the same page with this. We serve a triune God. We serve a God that is one God, three different persons. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And for us, I am Andrew Hunt. Andrew Jared Hunt is right here. Andrew Jared Hunt has a body. I have a soul, and I have a spirit. We are three parts. You are a person, but you have three parts. It's really important that we understand this today. Three parts to us. It's essential to understand because we may endeavor to get healthy in our body while neglecting the needs of our soul, and vice versa, even to our spirit as well. Even worse, we might try and strengthen our soul without feeding and taking care of the spirit. When I was in my woolly days, we moved around to a lot of stores, and I was out in Dandenong, and you never know what was going to happen in the Dandenong store from day to day. But there was one day where there was some drips coming from the roof, and we had a similar roof to a ceiling to this here, where it was ceiling tiles. And one of the ceiling tiles in the corner, you could see the drip was coming from this ceiling tile. And so like a good worker, you just shove a bucket under it and leave it, you know, and move on with your life. But it continued to get worse so much that the ceiling tile began to swell. You know, it gets that little swollen bubble. And it started dripping a little bit more. And one of the guys ended up getting up on a ladder. And as soon as he touched the thing, that was it. The whole ceiling tile was gone and there was water everywhere because it had softened so much and had become... Exactly. So obviously it had to come and fix, but there was two options that we had right now. I mean, well, there was three. Number one option was to do nothing and move on, which most of us did. But the second option we could have done was someone could have just grabbed a brand new ceiling tile. They're only plaster. You grab brand new ceiling tile and popped it up in the roof. And we all know what would happen. In a matter of time, that would be swollen again, and all of a sudden, away it comes. But the fix was that the air conditioner had broken on the roof and it was dripping. And it was so far up, this was multi-story, and it was so far up and it dripped down. And we were seeing the results of that right here. But the problem was in the roof. And for that example, it is not about fixing what we can see. It is not about fixing just the outworking of what's happened. It's about fixing the origin of the problem in the first place. And again, I see that, and we see that through society sometimes, where people have a really deep-rooted problem with their lives or whatever it is, deep-rooted in our souls, and we're trying to fix it by only purely physical measures. But there is a deeper work that needs to happen, and that deep work is true for every single one of us. We are forever. You are forever. Not Wakanda forever, but you are forever. Though your body may perish, and it will indeed one day pass away, your soul and spirit will survive. You are forever. And the world will make you think that you are not. It will try and take that truth away from you because it makes you want to live for today and only for today. But you are forever. So we need to be careful, church, that we're not trying to fix an eternal problem with a temporal solution. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 10:28, that first scripture. Don't fear those who can kill the body only, that's temporal, but the soul and spirit, they are eternal. A key scripture for us to note in this teaching today is 1 Thessalonians 5:23. It says this, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole," everyone say it, "spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So let's just pause for a minute and note that all three parts of us are important to God. He's not looking for us to maintain one or two and let go of the third. That is because there is a thread that continues through all of these three parts. They are independent, they are separate, but they are all linked. What is done in the body has the potential to impact the soul and the spirit, and vice versa. This is a bit of a side point, but I feel it's important to share right now, this scripture, and it's an example of the way this works, and it's outlined in 1 Corinthians 6, 18 to 20. In verse 18, it says this, it says, "Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." There can certainly be a negative that tracks through from our flesh and from the outworking of our flesh into our soul, into our spirit. But the same is true, church, and this is the good news, that it happens the other way as well. That as our spirit comes alive in Christ, at that point of salvation, our spirit comes alive, that tracks through, and we can see an outworking, and we do in our soul and in our body as well. These three are linked. All right? We good? Are you understanding this at the moment? Is this okay? Yeah, hopefully. All right, it's good. So for the rest of the message, I just want to hone in on that middle section, the soul, the body, the spirit, but I want to hone in on the soul. What do we mean by the soul? Generally speaking, the soul we refer to is our mind, our will, and our emotions, the inner you, not your flesh, not your body, but everything else before the spirit. That's your soul, where our personality comes out of. And that response that you have when someone cuts you off on the road, right? You know the one, you know, or they give you a love tap on the back. Do you know what I'm talking about? A little boop. What comes up in that moment? And I was in Healesville. Anyone from Healesville? No. Healesville. There's some people from Healesville. I was in Healesville this week and I saw this happen. And this is a good example because these guys unfortunately went at it and it was horrible. And was people standing there like, "What are you guys doing? Come on. You're all right. Hug it out. You're okay." It didn't happen. But that outworking that we saw, the action was a reflection of what had happened on the inside, or what happened in the soul, that emotion that comes out of that, that genuine love that we have for other people. Where does that come from? From your soul. God-given passions and the drive that you have in a certain area, that's your soul speaking. And although we see the physical, we see the outworking of that, it is what God has done on the inside that leads to that outworking. They are all linked. And taking it back to our scripture for the day, it's the soul that Jesus refers to in this giving rest. And it's important, he would have spoken to what it is to give your physical body rest, but he didn't. He spoke to what it is to give your soul rest, and that is important. And it indicates to us that Jesus thought that was important, that we understood it too. If your body is tired, sleep, rest. But if your soul is weary, then there's something else that's needed that goes beyond a good night's sleep, that goes beyond even, you know, I know we feel weary sometimes and we go, "Man, I just need a good sleep tonight. I just need a holiday." And a holiday is great, and 3 weeks at the beach might actually be really good for you right now. I see some faces around there. Go to the beach, please. Have some good time. Or even 3 weeks camping if you don't like the beach. Anyone prefer camping over the beach? Couple people, yeah, couple people. And that is good. That is good rest for your body. And yes, it leads to and can do good rest for your soul. But there is more to it than that. There is a deeper thing at work here. And I've got a little setup here, which I'm sure you've been wondering what is going on here, to example this. And I learnt when I was doing primary school teaching as a person who didn't know what to do at uni, primary school teaching, I learned that there are different type of learners, and I'm a visual learner, so we're going to learn visually today. Is that okay? All right. So I've got this part here. I'm going to move this bit just a little bit forward so I can get to it a bit easier. This little thing, this is called a D-shackle. And a D-shackle is for hanging stuff on, connecting things to other things. Is that right, Hamish? I'm a disgrace, he says. I'm sorry. Sorry, Hamish. A D-shackle is for whatever you want to use it for, right? And it's great because the little pin comes out and you stick it in, you screw it in, and away you go. Anyway, this D-shackle represents our life. Kind of like our lives. Some people don't know what to do with it. Let's let this D-shackle represent our life. And when we grow through life inevitably, we end up adding weight to our life. Whether that be you get out of school and you add some weight and you have a job and that job adds weight to your life. And you get into a relationship or you have relationships that put pressure on you and they add weight to your life, whether it's a partner, whether it's family members, whether it's a new work relationship, whatever it is. We have, this is a big one, the weight of expectation. The expectation that we have that is put on us by others, even if it's perceived expectation. But I think even a greater problem sometimes, a greater weight for us is the expectation we put on ourselves. Weight of expectation. Physical problems can be a weight for us. Whether we're going through something, and I know there's people who have gone through things in the last couple of years that have been a real weight to your life and have added weight to you. The consequences of sin, emotional heartbreak, whatever it is, there's weight that continues to get added. Living life our own way. See, the burdens we carry, they are all different for every single one of us, and often infinitely complex are these burdens. I've made them really simple by adding them to this D-shackle, but we all carry them. They're quite different and they're quite complex. We have them going on. We have to hang these, and it comes to a point that we decide, all right, this is my life, and we're going to hang it to something. And I've got this board up here to represent that today. And so often we come along, and we have our little nail, and we whack it in, and we go, all right, we're good. I've built my life, I've got my weight, and I'm going great. And we come, and we go, my life is set, and we go, all right, great, we're done. And we hang it. Did you know? Sorry, I should have warned you, sorry. And we endeavor to hang it, and we find that what we've hung it to has failed. And that hanging is anything that you go to that is going to let you down. Anything in life that cannot carry and cannot deal with the weight of our soul. And as we saw in that Broken Not Forgotten series, life doesn't always go as planned, right? It doesn't always go as we have. The plan A doesn't always outwork. And if we're not hanging it to something that can hold the weight of our soul, we fall and we hit the ground. And unfortunately, our response when that happens, and we heard this through our Broken Not Forgotten series. If you haven't heard those testimonies, can I encourage you to go back and have a listen? And what we do is we go, all right, we're going to be good now. I can fix this. I've fallen, I'm hurt, I've hit the ground, but I can fix it. And that's such an unfortunate thing that we try and fix it ourselves. Because we go and we go, I'm going to reinforce my life. I can do better. I'm going to get better when I'm going to upskill when it comes to my job, so I'm going to get a better job because that failed. Or I'm going to work harder on my relationships. I'm going to do better in my relationship. And we go, all right, I've reinforced that area of our lives. I'm going to discipline myself to live a lighter life. And that is a weight that we then add, another expectation to us. This one here, I've had emotional heartbreak. And I'm just going to fix it with some time on the couch, with some Netflix and a bit of ice cream, like I see in the movies. And that's going to be it. I've reinforced my emotional state by Netflix and ice cream, you know? And isn't food a trap like that, right? You know what the biggest liar is when it comes to food? This might be controversial, but I'm going to say it anyway. The biggest liar when it comes to food, KFC, right? You think it's going to fix your day. You think a little bit of KFC chicken skin is going to fix your day. And then we have it, and what happens? You have one bite, and you go, yeah, this is doing it. And then by the end, you go, get away from me. That is no good. The weight that we add, right? The weight that we add. And I know I'm making jest of some of these, but it's true, you know. And sometimes we avoid thinking about the weight altogether. And so we've done what we think we need to do, and we've added the weight. And we go, I'm good. I've made the changes I need to make, and now I'm good. And life happens again. And we come back, and we go, all right, well, that first one didn't work. I'm going to hammer it into a different spot. We're good. And we go. And we think by attaching our weight to a larger D-shackle, this is a bow shackle, a larger shackle, that it's going to make a difference. And sometimes life just goes everywhere. Sometimes it hits the ground harder than the first time and breaks. I even put two cable ties on so it didn't happen, but hey. And it's true. Life happens like that. It just goes everywhere. But no matter what we try, there is nothing that we can do in our power to hang our souls on something that's going to last. There's nothing that we can do. There's no power that we have to make that nail better to hang our lives upon. And it's at times like this where we hit the ground and life seems to have gone everywhere that we don't need a simple platitude. We don't need someone to come and say, hey, cheer up, it's going to be all right. We don't need someone to say, hey, head up. For a strong and complex heaviness like what we've been carrying, this does not provide relief. But church, there's good news, because there is a simple promise that can make a difference, provided we believe in the power behind that promise. And that we believe that power behind the promise is complex enough for our complex problems. It is strong enough for the weight of our problems, for the heaviness that we have. 11:21, let's put that scripture up again. What does it say, that first thing? Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come to me. And what Jesus has done is not offer us six simple steps to a lighter life. He has not said, here's the pathway to a settled soul. He determined that by what he did on the cross, that he is what we can put our whole life on and not worry a second about. All of the weight and all of the problem onto Jesus. Come to me. Whatever, right? Whatever the weight, come to me. It doesn't. You may think that what you're going through is too heavy for Jesus to handle. He says, come to me. I want to give you rest for your soul. Come to me. He simply offers himself as a universal solution to all the burdens. There is power in the name of Jesus. But for you and I, before we get to that point, this is where we are tested. This is where our burdened souls are tested. Will we believe in God and will we trust him? And that is the question for you today. Will we respond to the invitation of Christ to simply come to him? I'm going to close, and if the worship team want to come and that first song, it's a great song, Steph, that first one that we sung, isn't it? You are reviving me. We wrote that a number of years ago as a church, and it starts off and it says those very words, my soul was overwhelmed, my situation void of hope. And I think sometimes when it comes to this, the problem for us is that we want to know the how and the why, or we want to know the how and the when. Jesus, how are you going to answer these problems? Jesus, how are you going to fix this situation? But as we've read, Jesus doesn't give us that detail. He just promises that they will be. He promises that I got you. And he knows that he only is our salvation, our fortress. He is our mighty rock, our refuge. He is the one to answer every question, concern, fear, and any need that we ever have. And so he has simply and church comprehensively offered himself to us. For our hope is from him. And only in him will we find rest for our souls. It's not about how good we can get at managing life, right? It's not about how hard we can work at it and making life better for ourselves. And some of that stuff is important, yeah. Not about reinforcing ourselves to carry more weight. It's about where you're going to go. Where you're going to go to place your hope and your trust in the first place. No matter how heavy or how light, Jesus himself is the answer to a tired and weary soul. So no matter the weight of your soul today, church, no matter the weight of your soul as you're listening online today, Jesus is simply inviting you to come to him. David put it this way about this hope that we have in Psalm 62. It says, "For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. On God rests my salvation and my glory, my mighty rock, my refuge is God. Our hope is from him and in him." You guys start playing, we're going to pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your son. Jesus, we thank you that no matter what we face here on earth, Lord God, you have known the challenges. You know the state of our hearts right now. And Father, we give you praise and glory for your faithfulness, for the fact that as we hope and as we trust, we can not just lump a part of our life, but we can put our whole lives on the truth of your word and who you say you are. That we can trust you completely. Father, I thank you so much that life doesn't end for us when our life here on earth finishes. As we go today, Lord God, I pray that you would help us not only with ourselves, but see others in that eternal perspective. That your light, your love will shine through us. Jesus, as we put our faith in you today again, Lord, I pray that the outworking of that would be that Jesus, your name would be glorified in us. Father, that others see the weight that we are under and they say, "How are you doing that?" That we don't say, "Hey, I've got a good schedule. I've worked it out." But we point fairly and squarely at you and say, "Jesus, it is because of Jesus that I can stand right now." Father, we thank you and praise you. You've saved our souls, that we get to spend eternity in your presence. As we go this day, Lord God, as we feel weary, as we feel the burdens come, that our first response would be to come into your presence. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
When you go home, tell them of us and say, "For their tomorrow, we gave our today." Today is Anzac Day. That's why we have the flag on our stage. Today's a day where Australia and New Zealand remember those who served and died in war and conflict. It's a time to actually stop and think on purpose about what it might have been like for someone at war. And when words like bravery, heroes, sacrifice, loyalty, honour and freedom take on that much of a deeper meaning. Sacrifice is not something that I can honestly say that I know a lot about. Sure, I've sacrificed small things for people that I know and people that I love. And I'm sure that we've all been in a place where we can say that. But when we stop and reflect on the men and women that served in war, they literally gave their lives, not just for their friends, not just for their family, not just for people that they knew, but for strangers, for their country, for people not yet born. I want to read a really quick story, an Anzac story, about a man that I'm sure a lot of you have heard about before, called Jack Simpson. On April 26, 1915, a man called Jack Simpson did what many of his mates were doing at Anzac Cove, carrying casualties back to the beach over his shoulder, until he was stopped in his tracks by something he saw, something he'd been passing by for hours but had paid little attention to. Jack was about to pick up a wounded man when he saw a donkey grazing near him. Jack knew that he could rescue many more wounded soldiers using a donkey than as part of a stretcher team. So from then on, that's what he did. He would put the injured soldier on the donkey's back and lead him down to the beach. The distance down the long valley to the clearing hospital on the beach was about 1,200 metres. Using his donkey and working all day and halfway into the night, Jack would make about 12 or 15 trips per day. When the gunfire down the valley was at its worst and orders were posted that the ambulance men must not go out, Jack and his donkey kept going. They became famous among the Australian soldiers at Gallipoli because of their bravery. Even though it was incredibly dangerous, Simpson would crawl on his belly and drag soldiers back to safety. One day, the donkey came down to the beach with a soldier on his back, but without Jack. Simpson had been killed trying to save another soldier on May 19th from a machine gun attack. In 24 days, they estimate that he rescued around 300 men. Jesus said in John 15, verse 13, that no one has greater love nor stronger commitment than to lay down his own life for his friends. You know, I remember hearing that story about Jack and his donkey in school, and I'm sure many of us could probably say that they remember hearing that story, whether it was in school or maybe you've even heard it this week on the news or on radio. But I had honestly forgotten all about it. I'd forgotten about it until I read it just this week. And you know, we hear so much all the time. There is so much noise around us all the time that sometimes stories like these, and I'm sure many, many other stories, get lost because it's easy to forget. It's easy to take the freedom that was won for us for granted because it's our normal way of life. We're so used to it. For me, I don't know any other way than to live in a country of freedom. But today, we take a moment and we remember and we choose to be thankful for the men and women who sacrificed so much for our freedom, for our tomorrow. You know, the number of people that would have risked their lives and lost their lives would be in the hundreds of thousands. And yet, when we think about the cross and when we think about Jesus, he was just one man. One man who gave his life for an even greater freedom. Jack Simpson rescued, they say, about 300 people in 24 days. And that's not small. That's an honourable thing. But Jesus rescued mankind in 3 days. The sacrifice of so many soldiers gave our country and gave us a future. Jesus' sacrifice on the cross gave us not only a victorious life every single day here on earth, but he gives us eternity in heaven as well, a future that goes beyond just the here and the now. It's so easy to take the freedom that Jesus won for us for granted. It's easy to forget the blessings that we live in and we enjoy because they're just part of our everyday lives and we're so used to them. But let's choose not to forget. Let's choose to remember just as Jesus instructed us to, and that we should keep on remembering. It was prayed in the back prayer room that we should live a life of remembrance. Let's not forget the price that was paid for our salvation, for our freedom, for peace, for eternal life, for victory over sin and death. Let's not allow communion to become a time where we just go through the motions, where we hear just another story. The story of Jesus and what he did on the cross is not just another story. It's the story, and it's part of our story. Let's not allow communion to be a time where we focus on the fact that we miss the old biscuits and the juice, where we take for granted what our Savior did, not just for you, not just for me, but for the entire world, for those that are not yet saved, for those that don't yet know him, for those that have not yet been born. The greatest sacrifice, the greatest display of love that could ever be shown. Isaiah 53 verse 5 says, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed." And so as you hold the elements in your hand, the bread that represents Jesus' body that was crushed and the juice that represents his blood that was spilled, let's take a moment and remember and be grateful for all that has been won for us by those that have gone before us in war, and for the one man, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I'm going to give you a moment and then you can take communion in your own time and I'll pray. Father God, we thank you so much for what today represents. But Lord, we also pray that you would forgive us for when we've taken our freedom for granted. Father, help us to remember today amidst the busyness and the noise of just life. Father, we choose to take a moment and we choose to stop and remember the people that have sacrificed their lives for us. But we also choose to remember your Son who sacrificed his life for even more. It's so easy to take this time for granted, but Lord, we don't want to. We don't want to take what your son did for granted. And so, Father, I pray that you would lead us to a life of remembrance, that you would lead us always back to the cross. Father God, for the victory that was won for us, Father, let us not only be thankful for that, but let us live in the freedom that you won. Let us live in the victory that we have. And Father, I pray that even now, if there are areas of our life that we are not living in freedom in, Father, I pray that you would just show us that we can. The Holy Spirit, that you would empower us to do exactly what Jesus won for us. Father, we honor the men and women that went before us. We don't ever want to stop remembering what they did for us. And so we honor them. We honor their families. We thank you for them. We thank you for sacrificial love. Most of all, we thank you for your sacrificial love. We thank you for the cross and what it represents. So, Father, we pray that this day we would allow you to be the focus. We would allow you to be the thing that we keep coming back to. And we give you thanks and praise that we can stand here this morning and sing of our freedom, not just in the physical sense, but in the spiritual sense as well. We thank you for all these things, and we pray them in your precious name, Jesus. And everyone said, Amen.